The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and may not necessarily be the views or opinions of this station, its management, sponsors, or staff. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
And we are back live from the studio. Four blocks from the Capitol on West Wash. A little family business. I usually go home every 2 weeks due to family considerations, but this time I didn't because of the NCAA tournament last weekend. Well, we had the Butler Bulldogs were there in Milwaukee, and that was quite a weekend. So they won. Of course, they lost this weekend to the North Carolina Tar Heels, who have more talent than just loaded with talent. Badgers, of course, lost tragically. I support Greg Gard, the coach. He's wonderful. I, of course, had my own thoughts about the last 4 seconds, but nobody cares about that right now. I wouldn't think. And we can talk about that later in the broadcast in a lighter moment. Did a column this Sunday about the divide in the country, which I want to get into, because Ted Koppel, and we'll fit this into the equation as well, made the point to Sean Hannity on Koppel's CBS interview show that Hannity and his opinion show brethren are bad for the country. And Koppel said, yes, because you've attracted a group of people who believe in ideology over the facts. And the pushback from Hannity, the pushback from Rush, and I think with some legitimacy, given the landscape of the, quote, mainstream media, is that the alternative view, or the, shall we say, conservative view, purported by these opinion shows, is a way of equalizing the, quote, mainstream media narrative, which they believe is slanted left. Now, the people in the mainstream media deny that emphatically, get very defensive about that. Having been in the media and news for a long time, I can tell you there weren't a lot of conservatives in the newsroom. They just weren't. I don't care if I was working in South Bend, Indiana, or working in Green Bay, or working in Madison. I didn't find a lot of conservatives in the newsrooms as reporters, producers. I've said for years, it's just not what conservatives get into. Conservatives go out and make money, and they want to work in finance or business or real estate. I don't know what, but liberals, young journalists, want to get into journalism because they want to make a difference in society. And you do that with government. You do that with pro-government, proactive type views. You view the government as a central engine for social and economic justice. Conservative people don't think like that. They think you as the individual can make it happen or not make it happen based on your effort and knowledge, which you get from effort. I mean, there's a whole different worldview. And that's what happens. In fact, Sean Hannity, we have that now, right? He was being grilled by Ted Koppel, and this was this exchange that took place.
Think we're bad for America?
You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do.
In the long haul, I think you and all these opinion
That's
shows.
That's sad, Ted.
No, you know why?
That's sad.
Because you're very good at what you do, and because you have attracted a significantly more influential.
You are selling the American people short.
Let me finish the sentence before you do that.
With all due respect.
You have attracted people who are determined that ideology is more important than facts.
You think we're bad for America? You think I'm bad for America?
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah, we don't want to hear it twice, but that's what he said, and Sean was shocked, and that's what happens, though. But I think you look back at the whole history of news and big-time news, the conservative viewpoint was never really in the mainstream media. And they would have, so Rue Nartledge of ABC hired George Will back in the late 70s with the bow tie and the glasses to go on for these little commentaries or give his interpretation. It was their way of showing that they had a conservative viewpoint as part of their product. But the mainstream anchors, I don't care if it was Peter Jennings or Tom Brokaw or Dan Rather, or even Walter Cronkite, who was a very, very hardcore progressive. These people weren't conservative. Bob Schieffer. That's what happened. The conservative media formed really in large part with Rush Limbaugh back in the late 80s as he took over talk radio, which was in its infancy before that. And they were always on the fringe. You'd be like Barry Farber out there. There was the guy in New York, Johnny Grant. I mean, these people are on the fringes. Wilma Buckley was, you know, on the weekends on PBS on his show Fire, but not mainstream stuff, not popular culture, mainstream driving forces of opinion. When Rush came along, everything changed. He had millions of listeners, and these are people who already believed that stuff, but they never had a voice. In the early days, and I was in Green Bay working as a reporter, I would listen to the morning radio, and some people call in. Because Rush started in 88. I was in Green Bay in late 88 through 92. And it must have been 89. Rush has like been on for a year or whatever. People called in the radio in Green Bay and said, boy, I really like that Rush Limbaugh. You know, he says things that I agree with. And the host would say, what do you mean? Well, give me an example, man. Well, I just can't think of an example. I just think he speaks for us. Well, that's what happened. So then you had all these other shows, you know, develop, and pretty soon cable news became an item, and Rupert Murdoch bought Fox, and Fox was the alternative conservative forum. And so then people would just feed off their, at the trough of their own voice. That's why people watch Fox all day, and people who hate Fox and watch MSNBC or CNN or listen to NPR or whatever. Oh, Mitch, NPR. No, NPR is not a conservative. I mean, it's less, it's not left in the sense of other outlets, but it's definitely, I would say, center left. And it feeds the people who need that for their own daily dose. So I wrote a column this weekend about how, you know, the truth isn't really popular in partisan politics, and I compared it to sports. And we saw it with the Badger. I mean, if Badger fans will consider a good call, a call that goes against the other team, if the call goes against the Badgers, it's a bad call. It doesn't matter what the call actually is and whether the official got the call right or wrong. It's whether it's against or for the Badgers, which determines in the mind of the Badger fan whether the call is good or bad. It's outcome-based. And that's why people aren't politics. I think largely people in politics are the same way. They love Trump or they hate Trump. And they have reasons why they love Trump or hate Trump. I understand that. But they do. And whatever the facts are, Obama plays too much golf. What about Trump? Well, he's going down there to work. Oh, I see. I mean, I don't care what it is, any issue down the line, that's what's going to be. Trump said Obama white. Well, now he meant surveillance. I see. Yeah, well, they might have, but, you know, some people are going to say, well, what the president actually says matters. Well, we know what he means. You're not going to get two people, and that's fine. Why we in this country want two people to agree is beyond me. Now, there can be fatigue that comes with a lack of any kind of common ground. People get weary of the fighting. Happens in marriage, happens in families. If all you do is fight, eventually people get tired and they go separate ways because they don't want to fight. It's like fight night at Thanksgiving. You just leave, go to the bar, and have steak and peas. Come back with more on that, the divide that we face in this country, where we go from here. By the way, I told my sister, who is not a Trump fan, I said, well, you know, it's only been 3 months, so that means there are 45 months to go. And we got city council races, too, and we got school board, just all kinds of fun stuff. on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after The Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today, we enjoy the best of Groucho Marx. The quick-witted Quizmaster appears with Bing Crosby, Dinah Shore, Al Jolson, Francis Langford, and Tallulah Bankhead. A parody of the You Bet Your Life program features Fanny Brace's Baby Snooks. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after The Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
I'm Helen Kriebel with the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation. Illegal immigration is one of today's most divisive issues. But if we put aside the political posturing, there is a simple answer. It's called the Red Card Solution, a free market approach that can secure our borders and provide the workers that our recovering economy will need legally. It does that by linking specific workers to specific jobs, running background checks, and providing smart cards for identification. Even more importantly, it gives us a way to control our borders by eliminating most illegal entry. It also gives people already here illegally an incentive to leave and come back legally, giving them a simple path, not to citizenship, but to legal status as temporary workers. To find out more, log on to redcardsolution.com.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to The Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
So the divide in the country, I think in part, is illustrated on a number of fronts. Here we have a divide in the confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch, which, by the way, Democratic leader in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, has said they will filibuster, which means if the Republicans want to get him in, they have to change the rules of the Senate to circumvent the filibuster and just go for a 51-vote requirement to get him in. And they're going to change the rules to do that, which they would if they had to. But during the confirmation hearings, you have Senator Durbin of Illinois trying to box Gorsuch in on whether he cares about minorities, people of color, transgendered citizens, people with a different orientation sexually, and trying to smoke out whether Gorsuch views them as people who need their rights protected versus the white majority. I mean, that's between the lines, but that's clearly the line of attack. And trying to pigeonhole Gorsuch as anti-minority. Here's the exchange.
Senator, there are, what about them? Well, the point I made is...
They're people.
Oh, and, of course. You know. But what you said earlier was that you have a record of speaking out, standing up for those minorities who you believe are not being treated fairly. Can you point to statements or cases you've ruled on relative to that class?
Senator, I've tried to treat each case and each person as a person. Not of this kind of person, not of that kind of person. A person. Equal justice under law. It is a radical promise in the history of mankind.
Does that refer to sexual orientation as well?
Senator, the Supreme Court of the United States has held that single-sex marriage is protected by the Constitution.
Judge, would you agree that if an employer were to ask female job applicants about their family plans, but not male applicants, that would be evidence of sex discrimination prohibited by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act?
Senator, I'd agree with you. It's highly inappropriate.
You don't believe it's prohibited?
Senator, it sounds like a potential hypothetical case that might be a case or controversy I might have to decide, and I wouldn't want to prejudge it sitting here at the confirmation table. I can tell you it would be inappropriate.
Do you believe that there are ever situations where the cost to an employer of maternity leave can justify an employer asking only female applicants and not male applicants about family plans?
Senator, those are not my words, and I would never have said them.
I didn't say that. I asked you if you agreed with the statement.
And I'm telling you I don't.
Did you ask your students in class that day to raise their hands if they knew of a woman who had taken maternity benefits from a company and then left the company after having a baby?
No, Senator, and I'd be delighted to actually clear this up.
Please.
Because the first I heard of this was the night before my confirmation hearing. And we talk about the pros and the cons in a Socratic dialogue so that they can think through for themselves how they might answer that very difficult question. And Senator, I do ask for a show of hands, not about the question you asked, but about the following question. And I ask it of everybody. How many of you have had questions like this asked of you in the employment environment? An inappropriate question about your family planning. And I am shocked every year, Senator, how many young women raise their hand. It's disturbing to me. I knew this stuff happened when my mom was a young practicing lawyer, graduating law school in the 1960s. At age 20, she had to wait for a year to take the bar. I knew it happened with Justice O'Connor. Couldn't get a job as a lawyer when she graduated Stanford Law School and had to work as a secretary. I am shocked it still happens every year that I get women, not men, raising their hand to that question.
So what we have is this attempt, we saw during the John Roberts hearings as well, this concept that we should have equality under the law, or that this notion of color blindness or pursue the goal of a non-racial, non-preferential society is, of course, seen as like George Wallace thinking by Senator Durbin. But there's Gorsuch. No, I'm not going to play your game, which is what John Roberts did, too, during his confirmation. What do you want him to say? That, you know, white people, you know, have more power, so they deserve preferential treatment under the law? I mean, certainly you cannot argue they don't have advantages in society. Legacy grandparents, legacy parents, get them in school when they had C averages. Oh, that happens every day. Nobody's arguing that. But whether they have preferential treatment under the law, I mean, one of the cases brought before the Supreme Court, and even progressive, even liberal professors of civil liberties and civil rights sided with the white woman student applicant at the University of Michigan when she couldn't get into Michigan when she had better grades and she argued more, you know, academic credentials or extracurricular, then other students who didn't do as well, but the other students got in because of racial preferences, which was part of the admissions process. It was a point system. And she sued. Because she sued on the basis of the government can't discriminate on the basis of race. And people say, well, that's ridiculous. You know, Dan Quayle got into law school. Well, yeah, see, but Dan Quayle's grandfather was Eugene Pulliam, who was the publisher of the Indianapolis News and Star, who made great donations to the Indiana Law School. But that's not government doing that. See, the government isn't supposed to do certain things. Things that happen in terms of preferences in society are not supposed to be done or sanctioned by the government. The government isn't supposed to discriminate on the basis of race. And that was the case. But the Supreme Court, and I guess Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a conservative nominee of Ronald Reagan, voted to codify the Michigan admission system, which essentially was saying the status quo was fine. Going back to the history of affirmative action in the country, where had the government not intervened, students would not have been allowed to attend University of Alabama, University of Mississippi, if they were black. So at that time, there was government intervention then, but it was on behalf of the principle that one should not be discriminated on the basis of race. So from a purely constitutional standpoint, the ruling should have been that the government can't discriminate on the basis of race, and that you should. That's why we have an Equal Opportunities Employment Commission, Equal Opportunities Commission, all these things, because we don't have a perfect world. We have many racists, and we have a lot of discrimination, so we have those commissions.
We have Joanne.
To try and remedy those things when they occur. I mean, Jackie Robinson would go before Congress and say he couldn't get a house in a white neighborhood and explain what he had to go through. I mean, our goal as a government is to try and remedy that stuff. But when the government codifies discrimination based on race, it's a problem. Let's go to the phones, 210. But again, we're getting away from the divide. The topic is about the divide in the country, where ideology and agenda are superseding empirical facts. But I think this goes back a long, long way. I mean, back in Nixon times, when he was obstructing justice and he was ordering the ransacking of the Brookings Institution, he was telling the CIA to tell the FBI not to look at Watergate, all these things, when he was dispatching the IRS to audit his enemies, abuse of power, his fans said, no, he's fine. I like Nixon. He's a good man. Liberal media is trying to get him. None of this has changed. Let's go to the phones, 210-1667. Hello, Joanne.
Hey, Mitch, great topic. Just a few facts along these lines.
Oh,
these
yes.
I'm a university watcher for a long time, as well as participant. Women are routinely discriminated against in terms of admissions. Now, wait on this, okay? Mm-hmm. You know my positions tend to flop on either side very quickly. Now listen to this. Schools for many, many years have, in the quest of this balance, you know, you would like to have, ideally, a boy for every girl, a girl for every boy in schools. So you will, in many schools, openly, and I mean openly, let in people, men, who have lower grade point averages, not just athletes and all of that, and I don't mean to have any aspersions, but lower grade point averages than women. And the fact that this is never brought up, I mean, I read these cases, and maybe in a footnote somewhere that's brought up. And I have another issue along these lines, too. So women have faced that type of discrimination, but it's never brought into play in the public discourse. Because, again, people will say, don't you want to have your little girl go to school and have a boy to marry and all that?
Oh,
you'll
sake.
See this type of reasoning today, and I'm talking today. But it was especially bad in the past, where ill-prepared young men were let in. And I'll let you talk.
Well.
I'm sorry, I rambled for a second.
No, we have to continue this after the break. But I think it's horrible. To me, that is similar in my mind to the Asian students.
That was my second point. You're so brainy.
Oh no! But they're not allowed in the California state schools because there's a disproportionate number of Asians because they do so well that they can't get in. We'll come back with more on this.
Thank you so much.
All of the divide in the country, and we're manifesting on this admissions and college issue with Joanne on the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
One thing that we really appreciated about Tim was his knowledge of the real estate market. Fair prices, what was asking too much, and he knew about development, who the builders were, and what their strengths were.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
Tim is a very fun guy, and it was a very enjoyable process.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
If you're running a B2B business, there's a brand new 3-minute video that can change your company and change your life at needmoreme.com. If you're a B2B business owner, boss, or manager struggling to find more time to sell while still running the rest of your business, the new science of virtual relationship building can grow sales for you and as you. If your business has larger relationship-based sales with a long selling cycle and you need help driving more revenue, learn about the future of B2B sales in 3 minutes at needmoreme.com. That's needmoreme.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Don't be stupid with your skin. It's the only skin you're in. Know what's good and bad to do. Find the right and wrong for you. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. Wrinkles come from the UV light, and 8 spots make you a frightful sight. With UV light, it gets worse. Skin cancer is a wicked curse. Don't be the one that's tanning dead. Use your brain, use your head. It's time you learn what it's about. 'Cause indoor tanning is out. A message from the American Academy of Dermatology.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating 4 blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Joanne continues her discussion on the fact that female applicants in colleges are often left in the cold because of the need to, what, put more boys in with less credentials, Joanne? No, Joanne's gone. Sorry. I thought she was... Oh, there you go. All right, well, that's part of the deal. And we have other news to get to, and we're gonna get local. Actually, we're getting more local on this show. And as Bob Pabella said in the spot, don't hesitate. If you've got an agenda, an issue, a book to talk about, a cause to push, you can have your own show, essentially, as we build this online radio station, is what it is. And then once you perform your show live on the World Wide Web, then we save it in the form of a podcast to be seen as a link to be clicked on MadisonTalks.com. You can hear the show whenever you want. Any show that we put on this website is available to you for the clicking any time of the day or night. That's the whole point of digital radio. We call it radio because it's a show. We're still doing shows. You can too. Or you can even do a podcast on reflection of life, family, give it to the grandkids for memory purposes. All that stuff is part of the exciting world that we're in right now, and you can do it as well. But there's been this election year, last year, I guess, and then the aftermath has kind of led to a lot of national stuff, and we're gonna segue very quickly into more local stuff as we look at these elections coming up this week. School board, city council, state school superintendent, all that stuff we'll hit, as long as other issues. But we're just weaning off. There's a lot of attention on the national stuff. Donald Trump, the president of these United States, is a man who believes in the eternity of now. He does Twitter. He's a guy who watches shows and describes. He likes the day-to-day news cycle. The first major legislation he tried was healthcare. It didn't work. And people are now reporting that he kept saying throughout, is this a good bill? Is this a good bill? Is this really a good bill? And he slammed the Freedom Caucus after he first slammed the Democrats. Now he's saying he'll work for the Democrats. He wants, I don't think he has patience to read through a lot of pages of a bill. I mean, you know, he's going to have to trust his people. He doesn't have patience for that. He just wants it done. And when it doesn't get done, he realizes that Washington and government aren't like business, where you can just say, let's get it done. Now, even in business, you got to deal with zoning requirements and zoning permits. I mean, the golf course he built in Scotland, he got turned down about 3 times, and he would fly to Scotland, go to the hearings, and they'd say no. So even in business, he'd get what he wanted all the time. He would lose and lose, come back. He's not used to it. I think people are making a mistake if they think that Donald Trump is going to just give up on his agenda because he got mowed down in this healthcare thing. You know, he's not somebody who's been in Washington a long time. He's not LBJ, who was at one point the majority leader in the Senate, knowing everybody in Congress like LBJ did. So when Kennedy died, LBJ could bring the country together in terms of getting legislation passed, in part because of his skills, in part because of his knowledge of the members of the Congress and how it worked, how the legislative process worked, who his friends were to get bills done, and the fact the country was in mourning after JFK's death. All that stuff. Trump doesn't have any of that stuff. He doesn't understand how this stuff works. And he goes, well, I like Paul Ryan. He goes, he's got a lot of factions. Yeah, he does. There are a lot of factions out there, Mr. President, and they don't always agree with each other. So there you have that. But the deal about accusing President Obama of wiretapping his phones, one of his surrogates, Jeffrey Lord, said last week he was on a show in Alabama. And the host in Alabama said, well, people around here know what American speak is. They know what Trump meant when he said, right? People knew what he meant. He didn't mean exactly the wires. They don't do the wires anymore, by the way. They have other ways of intercepting conversations. How would we say they do it, Mike? Is it electronically?
Frequency interception,
yeah, right? How do they intercept the frequencies? They have some way of doing it, right?
Tap into it, yeah.
But not with wires
anymore.
Not
with wires, yeah.
Computers, then? Or?
Yeah, you can do
that. Everything's done on a computer, right?
Yep, depends on what you're trying to get.
So the guy in Alabama made the point that, well, we know what he meant. He meant they're surveilling him. Well, then you have to go to, logically, so we have linear thoughts, point A to point B. We don't want to go from point A to point C. Then did President Obama order the surveillance? Well, they haven't been able to prove that yet. But Donald Trump went on and called him a sick or a bad guy in his tweet. So Trump fans and Trump Nation, well, he'd probably right, probably did. And who knows down the road what we're going to learn. But as we sit now, there's been no proof demonstrated that that occurred, which Lindsey Graham will get into. We have time for Lindsey Graham now? Or I think we do. Lindsey Graham, continuing from the divide topic, he was at a town hall in South Carolina, khaki pants, blazer, and he was in the crowd was booed him either on, if he said health care was bad, they booed him. If he said health care would have been good, the changes, he got booed. And here's how Lindsey Graham handled it. It kind of goes to who bothers to come to a town hall.
If the House had passed the bill that we were pushing in the House, I'm not so sure it would have made things much better. The process was not what I wanted it to be. Does it sound familiar that people were being threatened to vote yes? Some people being bribed to vote yes. Sounds a lot like Obamacare to me. So that's what I didn't like about it. So. Here's what I think about health care. Obamacare is a disaster and it is going to collapse. We are down. I tell you what, one thing I've learned. The red cards are louder than the green cards. So let me tell you about health care. I don't think one party is going to be able to fix this by themselves. So here's what I think should happen next. I think the president should reach out to Democrats. I should reach out to Democrats. And we should say, let's take a shot at doing this together, because it ain't working it doing by ourselves. How about that? All right.
Well, he also went on to talk about the intelligence stuff. He has let the investigation go where it goes, and they cheered and booed according to their own agendas. See, the point was, people at home, people at the town halls have their own agendas, and they may be really good and justified, but that's what they care about. So they're going to boo or yell according to their own beliefs, just like people boo or yell if the call is against the Badgers or for the Badgers. If healthcare saved your life, if Obamacare saved your life, you like Obamacare. If somebody says, well, there's no money for that to continue, who's going to pay for it? You don't care. You just want what you have. It's like my mother used to say, I don't care about the debt. Well, as long as you got her check, Social Security check every month, she didn't care. I mean, people care about what they care about, and you care about getting your check, as we all know. Come back with the intelligence, the chairman, Devin Nunes, who the Democrats now say he should drop out and just take himself off the Intelligence Committee. We'll explain why and hear him being grilled by Jake Tapper next. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed, as our nation is, with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be, with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available, we approach this problem of reemployment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, boys and girls, we have the chairperson, chairman, what the hell, he's a man, I'll call him a chairman, of the House Intelligence Committee. They're supposed to be probing possible Russian influence on the election and possible ties with Trump, Team Trump. Well, last week, our good friend Devin went to the White House to view intelligence data on the White House grounds using a White House secured computer, and then held news conferences about it before he talked to his comrades on the committee, which is prompting the committee members to say he should stop, just step down, because he's in the hands of the White House. He's not independent, yada, yada. Nunez claims he went there and did that because the information he viewed didn't affect the Russians. It was non-Russian intelligence, which exposed the names of citizens for Team Trump and, quote, possibly could have intercepted Trump himself, although I don't know why it would know whether it was yes or no on that. But given the background on that, Jake Tapper of CNN, who's not a fan of the president's, you can watch him over the last several months, tried to grill Devin Nunez, the chairman.
Nunez, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Great to be back on, Jake. Thank you.
So first of all, I guess just a direct question. Was President Trump picked up himself in this incidental collection, or was he not?
In the reports that I reviewed, it does appear like incidentally, he could have been picked up. Okay, so until we actually get these reports and get an explanation from the appropriate agencies, we won't know the answer to that. But clearly, there is a lot of information in the reports that I see, which were dozens, that would lead me to believe that the last administration and numerous agencies had a pretty good idea of what President-elect Trump was up to and what his transition team was up to and who they were meeting with. And you know, some of this is, I think, legitimate collection, but some of it, I think it bothered me enough that I went over to the White House because I think the president needs to see these reports for himself.
Okay, I'm afraid, so I still don't understand. He was picked up or he wasn't? You said he could have been, but I don't know what that means.
So what? All I can tell you is what I read in the reports. In the reports, it was quite clear that he was in there and other people associated with the Trump transition team, and that's what I can tell you. Now, look, I don't know if that meets, that doesn't mean that Obama wiretapped Trump Tower, but it clearly is a concern to me, because I'm not sure that this should be put together like this. I have a problem with it. But look, we gave them 2 weeks ago. We sent a letter asking for them to tell us who was unmasked. The NSA is cooperating very well. We expect to get more information from the NSA. But look, if additional unmaskings occurred, and we have to get to the bottom of why were these names unmasked.
All right, so that's a big important issue, and I want to focus on that. But let me just dispense of one thing. President Trump said that he felt somewhat vindicated by what you told him today. Just to be clear, there's still no evidence that President Trump himself was wiretapped.
That is correct.
What would you say to Democrats out there on Capitol Hill who say it looks like maybe you're trying to give President Trump and the White House cover for this falsehood that he told a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, well, look, I said the day after or 2 days later to all of you that I was quite confident that President Obama did not order a wiretap on Trump Tower. However, I have said for a long time that I was worried about incidental collection because we knew that was already an issue of possible incidental collection and unmasking of a name. I have been very clear with the press on this, and I was provided several intelligence documents that clearly show that President Trump and the transition team were included in these reports that were disseminated widely in the last administration.
So am I wrong in assessing that what seems most important to you is not the incidental collection, which you know happens all the time for whatever reason American intelligence, U.S. intelligence will be conducting surveillance on an ambassador from another country and they pick up somebody else who is an American citizen that they... on a target of the surveillance. What bothers you is that within the intelligence reports, the names of Trump officials, including perhaps then candidate, then president-elect Trump himself, were cited instead of just saying individual A, individual B. Is that right? That's what bothers you the most about this?
Well, I think a couple things. First of all, to make sure you understand, everything that I saw occurred after the election.
It
had to deal with the transition. The unmasking really bothers me because there has to be a reason for an unmasking. So we need to know who ordered the unmasking. How did that come about? At that point, then, was additional information put into these intelligence reports that clearly I think the president, what I want to tell the president today is he needs to see those reports. He needs to see what's out there on him, and it's up to him to decide whether or not it was proper collection or not, or if it met a threshold. That'll be for him and his administration to understand, but he needed to see this. And he has every right to get a hold of these reports, just like the last administration clearly was able to read them.
And just to be clear for our viewers, unmasking means that instead of an intelligence report where they're conducting surveillance on, just to make it up, the Russian ambassador, instead of saying the Russian ambassador was talking to American A, it says the Russian ambassador was talking to Michael Flynn. An example of unmasking.
That's a good example of it.
That's a pretty good example of it. Well, right. Let me ask you a question. Do you doubt that there was any legitimate reason for the unmasking, for example, in the situation I just told you about that you and I have discussed at length before? Perhaps, I have no idea, but perhaps somebody in the Justice Department heard that Michael Flynn was not being honest with the public and was not being honest with the Trump administration about his phone call, and maybe they felt like unmasking when acting Attorney General Sally Yates went to the White House and said Michael Flynn was talking about punishments of Russians, et cetera, et cetera. He's not telling the truth. Is that not a legitimate reason for unmasking?
This is not that. It appears that additional names were unmasked, and there doesn't appear to be a reason for it. Perhaps there is. But like I said, we need to find out who requested the unmasking and why was it done.
And why was it done? So, certain names were unmasked, and that's classified stuff. It shouldn't be leaked. So he's focusing on that and opening the door for further information about people being unmasked and who did it versus whether... the president ordered Trump surveilled, which Nunez says he has no proof of that yet. So Lindsey Graham say that to his constituents. Trump supporters will say, we don't know that yet, do we? Because we haven't investigated and there could be more people coming forward and the NSA whistleblowers may tell us things we don't know yet. Okay, but the president said it a month ago or 3 weeks ago that it was happening. Bad or sick guy. So it further divides and already divided. I'm not sure if it does or not. We were already divided. You know, Trump fans like Trump. He says stuff. They understand. He's speaking Americanese. We know what he meant. Trump haters would hate Trump no matter what he does or says, in my view. Now, the people on the side, the lukewarm Trump voters and the independents and so forth, they actually want to see results. It's part of the deal. The media, though, what about stories that don't get covered? Like the rape in Rockville, Maryland, with a 14-year-old allegedly raping someone in a bathroom who was an illegal alien, which, as many people believe that's why it's not being covered, except by Fox. We'll come back with more on that. The Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
New Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.